Some of history's great consequential events are easy to take in, even many years later. Wars, the creation of new nations, the triumphs of social movements. One that isn't so easy, but was no less consequential, was the sudden and unexpected rise of big business to a position of great economic and political power in the decades following the Civil War. The founding ideas of the United States concerned the power of the state, not of private economic interests, because it was hard to imagine that those interests could ever become full rivals to the national government. But now, here they were, dominating nearly every aspect of the life of the country. Industrial capitalism gave rise not only to extremes of wealth and poverty, but also to big cities, mass immigration, political machines, and other developments that upended everyone's assumptions about how the country worked. For two or three generations, what to do about big business was the central question of American life. In 1911, Justice John Marshall Harlan of the U.S. Supreme Court, who was born in 1833 and was only a few months away from the end of his life, wrote an opinion in the case that affirmed the government's breakup of John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company. He recalled the situation, two decades earlier, that led to the country's first major law limiting the power of big business, the Sherman Act. All who recall the condition of the country in 1890 will remember that there was everywhere, among the people generally, a deep feeling of unrest. The nation had been rid of human slavery, fortunately, as all now feel, but the conviction was universal that the country was in real danger from another kind of slavery, namely, the slavery that would result from aggregations of capital in the hands of a few individuals and corporations controlling, for their own profit and advantage exclusively, the entire business of the country, including the production and sale of the necessaries of life. It was into this situation that Adolph Augustus Burley Jr. was born in 1895. Solving the problem of big business would be the dominant concern of his life. Burley was an overwhelmingly ambitious man who spent his long career jousting with the major figures of his time over the business question, wanting to be recognized as the one who had come up with the best solution to the most vexing problem of the 20th century. How, exactly, could concentrated economic power be counteracted in a way that preserved freedom and prosperity and offered a decent life to most people? He felt that he was competing, at home and abroad, and before and after the early New Deal period that represented the peak of his political influence, with socialists and communists, with fascists and free marketeers, with antitrusters and economic technicians. By the time he died, in 1971, Burley, who was never modest, felt that he had, indeed, solved the problem. The solution was the corporation, which for Burley's generation represented an astonishing new kind of economic institution, the advent of which, at least to Burley's mind, rivaled in importance the earlier advents of the church and the state. Initially all-powerful and threatening, the corporation, Burley felt, had by the middle of the 20th century been tamed by government to the point that it could play the central role in a good society dominated by large, stable institutions that would provide people's material needs, protect them from economic shocks, and generate cohesion. This was what he saw as his life's achievement.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.